China locks up Central Asia's mineral wealth while America watches supply chains slip away. The United States controls just 2.1% of Central Asia's critical mineral exports while China commands 49% and Russia one-fifth, a strategic failure that threatens to lock American industry out of supply chains worth tens of trillions and essential to artificial intelligence, green energy, and advanced defense systems. This isn't a future risk. It's a present-day route, and the window to reverse it is closing. Kazakhstan alone holds 5,000 mineral deposits valued at $46 trillion by the World Bank. The country produced over 40% of global uranium output in 2025 and in April of that year announced a rare earth discovery in Karaganda potentially containing 1 to 20 million metric tons of neodymium, cerium, lanthanum, and yttrium, which would make it the world's third largest reserve. Uzbekistan launched a $2.6 billion initiative in March 2025 to develop 76 mineral sites rich in tungsten, copper, lithium, and germanium. Tajikistan supplies one quarter of global antimony, a battery and defense material. Yet while Central Asian presidents signed $64 billion in deals with American firms at meetings in September and November 2025, the bulk involved purchases of U.S. goods, 32 Boeing jets and 300 trains. Actual investments in Central Asian extraction were limited, including one John Deere factory in Kazakhstan designed to produce 3,000 agricultural machines. According to research by Oxa Society, the EU accounts for 6.4% of the region's critical mineral exports. The United States trails at 2.1%, mostly Kazakh silver imports. Edward Lemon and Bradley Jardine, writing for The Diplomat, note that the region has supplies of at least 32 of the 60 critical minerals now identified by the U.S. government. Bob Kitchen, Vice President for Emergencies at the International Rescue Committee, underscored the broader geopolitical stakes. It is more expensive to buy fuel to run our operations, moving commodities, moving personnel around many of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa as oil price volatility caused by the Iran war disrupts supply chains globally. The implications extend beyond commerce. As the Iran war enters its third month with the Pentagon estimating costs at $25 billion and no timeline for resolution, U.S. strategic bandwidth is consumed elsewhere. Meanwhile, China and Russia are embedding themselves as the structural owners of Central Asian upstream extraction and midstream processing, meaning the raw materials fueling the next generation of technology and weaponry will flow through Beijing and Moscow, not Washington. The extraction monopoly Beijing and Moscow built while America watched China's dominance is comprehensive. Beijing controls 70% of global extraction and 87% of processing, and the Central Asian picture mirrors this. Central Asia exports over $15 billion in critical minerals annually. China imports just under half, including antimony from Kyrgyzstan, and copper, niobium, tungsten, zirconium, and selenium from Kazakhstan. This isn't opportunistic dealmaking. China holds a majority of mining permits in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, a structural position that channels raw materials eastward. Crucially, Central Asia often exports unprocessed or to China, where higher value refining occurs. Beijing isn't just an investor. It's the central node in Eurasian mineral supply chains. Russia's role is equally entrenched but more focused on strategic sectors. Kazakhstan is the world's second largest chromium producer, yet nearly all output exports to Russia for processing. Chromium is essential for stainless steel and, by extension, the high-strength, heat-resistant alloys used in Russian aircraft, missiles, and armored systems. Through Rosatom, Russia controls large stakes in Kazakh uranium mines, including almost one-third of production at Budenovsky. Russia won the contract to build Kazakhstan's first nuclear plant in 2025 and imports nearly half of Kazakhstan's uranium for enrichment and export. Russia also controls nearly 50% of global enrichment capacity. The operational consequence, Moscow and Beijing have locked in both the upstream resource and the downstream processing, creating vertical integration that will be extraordinarily difficult to dislodge. The United States, by contrast, has neither meaningful extraction footholds nor processing capacity in the region. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650, the United States controls only 2.1% of Central Asian critical mineral exports while China commands 49% and Russia controls 20%, creating a strategic vulnerability across AI, green energy, and defense supply chains. Kazakhstan holds 5,000 mineral deposits valued at $46 trillion by the World Bank and produced over 40% of global uranium output in 2025, while Uzbekistan launched a $2.6 billion initiative in March 2025 to develop 76 mineral sites rich in tungsten, copper, lithium, and germanium. China controls 70% of global critical mineral extraction and 87% of processing, with structural ownership of mining permits in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan that channels raw materials eastward, while the US signed $64 billion in deals with Central Asian countries in 2025 focused mainly on Boeing jets and trains rather than mineral extraction investments. Russia secures strategic mineral flows through Rosatom and #X27's control of nearly one-third of production at Kazakhstan and #X27's Budenovsky uranium mine and won the contract to build Kazakhstan and #X27's first nuclear plant in 2025, while importing nearly half of Kazakhstan and #X27's uranium for enrichment. China, 49% of Central Asian critical mineral exports. Russia, 20%. EU, 6.4%. United States, 2.1%. The defense industrial base America isn't building, the defense implications are stark. According to a study by the Caspian Policy Center, Central Asia holds substantial deposits of minerals critical to missiles and advanced weapons systems. Yet the region's output feeds rival arsenals, not American ones. Germany, meanwhile, has leapfrogged U.S. ammunition production capacity. Rheinmetall CEO Armin Papperger reported last week that the firm quadrupled medium-caliber ammunition output and increased artillery round production to 1.1 million annually from 70,000. This surge follows NATO's June 2025 pledge to spend 5% of GDP on defense within a decade, up from the prior 2% target that most members weren't meeting. The U.S. is currently absorbed by the Iran conflict, with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth offering no timeline for conclusion during House Armed Services Committee testimony and the Strait of Hormuz blockade entering an indefinite standoff. Shipping traffic remains halted. Retired Navy Vice Admiral Kevin Donegan told NPR the U.S. could maintain the blockade indefinitely, but clearing Iranian mines would take time. Iran believes it can sustain the blockade using mines, drones, and missiles. Oil price volatility from the blockade is cascading through global supply chains. The IRC reported $130,000 in medical supplies stuck in Dubai destined for 20,000 people in Sudan, and fuel shortages forcing Nigerian and Ethiopian health clinics to ration generator use. Humanitarian groups are calling for a corridor through the Strait of Hormuz to move aid. The defense industrial bottleneck is real. Europe is scrambling to backfill stockpiles after transferring equipment to Ukraine for 4 years. The US, distracted by Iran, lacks both the production surge Europe is achieving and the mineral access necessary to sustain one long term. The diplomatic theater that yielded no strategic gain, high-level engagement hasn't translated to outcomes. In November 2025, President Donald Trump met with the five Central Asian presidents to mark the 10th anniversary of the C+5 grouping, originally launched by President Barack Obama in 2015. President Joe Biden hosted the group at the UN General Assembly in 2023. The resulting $64 billion in deals signed in September and November 2025 with Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan were heavily skewed toward American exports. The 32 Boeing jets and 300 new trains are welcome sales for U.S. manufacturers, but they don't secure mineral access or processing partnerships. The John Deere factory producing 3,000 agricultural machines annually in Kazakhstan is a foothold, but it's agricultural equipment, not mining infrastructure. Compare this to China's approach: majority mining permits, integrated logistics networks, and processing facilities that add value before export. Russia's strategy: equity stakes in uranium and chromium production, state-owned enterprise control via Rosatom, and long-term contracts that tie Kazakhstan's nuclear and metallurgical output to Russian industrial needs. Washington's deals are transactional. Beijing and Moscow's are structural. The Plaquemium view the Central Asia mineral race is over, and the United States lost. But the war for the next tier of supply, processing partnerships, and technology transfers hasn't yet been decided. Here's what Washington must internalize: China's 49% share and Russia's 20% give them pricing power, logistics control, and the ability to embargo or ration supply in a crisis. The US holds 2.1%. That's not a negotiating position. It's a dependency. The second order effect is defense industrial. Germany now outproduces the US in ammunition because Europe recognized the threat and mobilized capital. Rheinmetall CEO didn't quadruple output by accident. He responded to a 5% of GDP NATO commitment and a clear customer base. The US is burning $25 billion in Iran with no end date, while Central Asian chromium flows to Russian arms plants and Kazakh rare earths get refined in China for electric vehicle and smartphone supply chains. The tactical move: the US must shift from buying Boeing jets to co-investing in upstream extraction and midstream processing. That means joint ventures with Kazakhstan's state mining entities, co-financing Uzbekistan's $2.6 billion mineral development program, and securing offtake agreements that guarantee processing capacity outside of China and Russia. The John Deere factory model is instructive: local production, U.S. technology, shared economics. The strategic imperative: the U.S. cannot allow China to control 87% of processing. That requires domestic investment in refining capacity and tariffs or subsidies that make U.S.-based processing economically viable. The Inflation Reduction Act created incentives for EV battery plants. A parallel framework for rare earth and critical mineral processing is overdue. The geopolitical wedge: Tajikistan supplies 25% of global antimony, a battery and defense material. That's a single-source concentration risk for any buyer. If the U.S. can finance Tajik production expansion and secure multi-year contracts, it fractures China's pricing power and builds redundancy into defense supply chains. The same logic applies to Uzbek lithium and Kazakh uranium. The Iran war is a distraction the U.S. cannot afford while China and Russia consolidate mineral dominance. Every month the Strait of Hormuz remains blockaded, European defense spending accelerates and U.S. strategic attention remains consumed. Germany didn't overtake U.S. ammunition production by choice. It did so by necessity because Washington was looking elsewhere. The bottom line: Central Asia holds $46 trillion in mineral deposits, produces 40% of global uranium, and just discovered a rare earth field that could rank third globally. The U.S. imports 2.1% of the region's critical minerals. China takes 49%. Russia takes 20%. This isn't a market share problem. It's a national security failure. The $64 billion in deals signed in late 2025 were Boeing jets and John Deere tractors, not mining joint ventures. Meanwhile, China holds majority mining permits in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, and Russia controls one-third of Kazakh uranium production through Rosatom. The U.S. is structurally locked out of supply chains that will define AI, green energy, and advanced defense systems for the next three decades. Washington has one path forward: stop buying goodwill with aircraft sales and start buying equity stakes in extraction and processing. Co-finance Uzbekistan's 76-site mineral development. Secure long-term offtake agreements for Tajik antimony and Kazakh rare earths. Build domestic refining capacity so the U.S. isn't dependent on Chinese processing. The alternative is a future where every electric vehicle battery, semiconductor, and missile system depends on materials controlled by Beijing and Moscow. That future is arriving faster than Washington thinks, and the window to prevent it is closing with every diplomatic photo opportunity that yields no operational control. The race for Central Asia's minerals is over. The fight for what comes next is just beginning.